Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and the radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you listen for the duration of the program, for we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and divine word. If at any time you have a question about something that is said on the program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information that's given by the announcer, or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. Let's read from Ephesians chapter 2 and begin reading at verse 8 and read through verse 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. You know, you, I, nor nobody deserves to be saved. And you and I, or anyone else, should not just want justice, but rather mercy. We find in the context here in Ephesians 2 that it says in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. God is rich in mercy. We see that word rich comes from the idea of a storehouse, or again, it's something that is without end. And verse 5 says, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So verse 5 tells us that by grace we are saved. So in all that we've read here in these verses in Ephesians 2, we see mention made of grace, we see mention made of faith, and we see mention made of works. Concerning these three things, there is a great deal of misunderstanding. There are some people that say that it is only grace that saves us. Then there are those who say that we're saved by faith alone. Then there are those who say that we're saved strictly by works. And then the other opposite end of the extreme is that there are those who say that works is absolutely not essential. So let's make sure that we understand these three terms that are being used here in Ephesians 2. When we think of grace, and when we read about grace, whether it's here or in any other passage of Scripture, grace is God's part. Grace is that which means unmerited favor, undeserved favor. What can man do to ever say that God owes him? Nothing. And certainly that falls even more in the realm of our eternal salvation. We certainly do not do anything that puts God in a position of owing us salvation. God, we know, in his grace, through his grace, provide the sacrifice. It's over in the book of Hebrews that we read in chapter 2 and verse 9. It says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. We know that in the statement that Jesus himself made, it shows to us that God's grace was given to us through him. We find in John chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, here's what we read. He says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This is he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And then we drop into verse 17. It says, For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. God did not have to send Christ, and I hope we all understand that. God's grace also provided us for something else, and that is the revelation of which we're studying from at this particular time. We find in Titus, in the second chapter, notice what we see beginning with verse 11. He says, For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. So God's grace provides us salvation, and he provides this salvation through us by means of teaching. And it's the revelation, the New Testament, the gospel, that is the revelation of Jesus Christ. In a statement that Paul made to the elders at Ephesus, notice what he said in Acts chapter 20. He said in verse 24, But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. So here mention is made concerning how that the gospel is also a part of the grace of God. But drop on down to verse 32. Still in the same conversation of Paul with the elders, he says, So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those that are sanctified. So God's grace provided us Jesus and the sacrifice that he was willing to make of himself. And God's grace provides unto us the revelation that you and I can hold in our hands, the New Testament, and read and study concerning the grace that God has so abundantly bestowed upon us. So yes, it's truly as Ephesians 2 says, by grace are you saved. So we see then that grace is God's part. When we move to faith, that's mentioned in Ephesians 2, we must understand that faith is man's part. It's in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We note in passages in the book of Hebrews, for instance, in Hebrews chapter 11, it says in verse 6, But without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In Hebrews 11, notice verse 8, By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. And by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And in verse 17 of Hebrews 11, By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Now let's look at verse 20. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph in worship, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You see, faith is man's part, And that's what we see clearly here in Hebrews chapter 11. And of course, we could go on through the entire chapter to see that faith is on the part of that which we, you and I, must do. But then there comes the question, what kind of faith justifies? Like we saw in Romans 5 in verse 1, we are justified by faith. What kind of faith justifies? Let's understand that it's not just any kind of faith, or else the devil would be justified. You remember in James chapter 2 and verse 19, it says, if thou believest there is one God, thou dost well. The devils also believe and tremble. So that kind of faith is a kind of faith, but it's not the kind of faith that justifies. So we see then that it, from what we've read here in Hebrews 11, go back and again, let's look at verse 8. It says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as his inheritance. See, the kind of faith that justifies is the faith that obeys. Abraham, by faith, obeyed what God commanded him to do. It's in Romans chapter 1 that we read in Romans chapter 1 and verse 5. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all the nations for his name. That we read in Romans chapter 1. Now, look what we read when we turn over to the last chapter of Romans, in Romans chapter 16. And here, let's read verse 26. But now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith. The book of Romans begins and ends, it opens and closes, with the statement concerning faith, that faith, in order to justify, is a faith that must be obedient. So we see then that to say that by breathing only I live, that's a false statement. Yes, it takes breathing to live, but to say breathing only is all that it takes to live? No, we know better than that. And we need to know better than that as far as what the scriptures teach concerning salvation. Yes, it takes faith for us to be saved. But it takes more than just faith alone, faith by itself. So it is that we're saved by faith only? No. And the Bible is very clear to point that out in James chapter 2, where we read in verse 24 this statement. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. And so that brings us to the third thing that we've looked add in Ephesians 2, and that is works. Ephesians 2 and verse 9 causes some to want to completely eliminate works. But again, not only is it the question of what kind of faith justifies, it's what kind of works is Paul talking about here in Ephesians 2. There are certainly works that don't justify. Works of the law of Moses don't. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 39, it tells us clearly that we're not justified by the law of Moses. Works of man's own devising, man's own righteousness, will not save us either. Lest we have that chance and opportunity to boast, we can't pick ourselves up physically, nor can we do that spiritually. Then it's spoken about in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1 about works that are dead works. So what works then do justify? Well, Jesus said in John 6 and verse 28, the works of God justify. We see that it's the works of God's righteousness in Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35. Even here in Ephesians 2 and verse 10, we are justified by good works. That's what we've been created to do, good works. And we're justified by works of faith in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. So, yes, we're saved by grace, we're saved by faith, we're saved by works. All three must be included in what we must understand about what the scriptures teach. We see our time is gone. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Until then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.